Good morning, Ofer. Happy Freedom Day.
Hi, Joni Ann. Good to hear your voice.
Absolutely. I'm so excited to be here sharing this information wisdom superhighway with you. 2022, we wanted to begin our journey in 2022 from a point in time. And so I'm not an expert in numerology, but there's a consciousness I have around it. So for example, we take a look at the numbers of 2022, and typically in the numerology, they do a condensing of numbers, right? So 2 + 2 + 2 + 0 representing the whole or the all. So 2 + 2 + 2 + the all is the number 6. And the number 6, from my awareness, and please share with me what your interpretations and understandings are as well, is that it's the canceling of evil. And I mean, that's a frightening word for some people, right? They might even make the sign, you know, to ward off evil. And so I wondered if we might take some time to just kind of dismantle a little bit the spectrum of what we call evil, and then talk about like how, you know, the canceling of it, what exactly does that mean in the year 2022? And then if it works well with you, I'd also like to kind of look at the, would you call it the inverse or converse? I'm not sure exactly what the word is, opposite. So talking about opposites, the opposite in terms of shape or symbol of the number 6 is the number 9. And so we're looking at like 9 for me represents, I think it's a, some look at it as the end and then others look at it as the beginning, but in that spectrum of all its beginnings and endings, if we look at it numerically, like on the number line 0 to 10, for example, 9 comes just before 10, 10 is a representation of 1 and 0, or I am whole, or I am all. So anyway, a lot of play this year. And it's like, how do we incorporate this idea of play to cancel out what our perceptions are of evil? So what, how do you feel about that for 2022?
Well, the first thing I want to tell you is, as I'm looking at my screen, and maybe you see the same thing on your screen, I see your screen icon of what we call Spirit Collective. And so I see 6 leaves. Do you see that?
Yes.
And so it's right in front of me, and it actually looks beautiful for me. When we talk about 6 as the ending of evil, I'm also, it occurs to me that evil is the absence of light, the absence of true creation. You know, it's what happens when love is absent, when the energy of love is absent.
Okay. And this is on both ends of a massive spectrum, right? So could we say that with that concept that there are degrees?
And it is a very formidable scale, of course, where there are endless ways of expression for both, right?
Right.
For things that you would consider less than good, all the way down to the most, you know, evil things. And in the end, there is, you know, the absolute love, and there is probably the absolute absence of love, which would give rise to anything that feels mostly the most unloving. And the interesting thing for this year, also for last year, is that it is all over the scale, right? I mean, when you look at the world around us, it is all over the scale. I mean, you see so much that you can, if you put a specific glasses on, you can see this as the most evil kind of evolvements and deeds and decrees and decisions that people can make. Mm-hmm. You also see the cry for help, cry for healing. You see the true need and want and desire to change, to help. I mean, it's everything is there. It's and everything is getting, it seems like everything is moving away from the center and move towards the ends.
Oh yes, yeah. So you know what's interesting is I'm sourcing through your expression. I want to say that the fantastic component of what you're speaking to is the form of particular entities. Okay, so I'm just listening to as you describe this. You know, we're the perspective, the glasses perspective. On one facet, the form is human. And of course, you and I, we're human. So we're inclined more toward observing humans' form or humans' nature in the process of these energies. And then at the same time, as I'm listening to you, I'm witnessing this, like as soon as the word was said, you know, I'm like, wow, look at the spectrum of concepts or conceptualizations of what one human might determine as evil versus what another human might determine as evil. And again, we look at the vast space of differences for each individual. And it's like, so what, you know, what is the common, I suppose, what is the essential energy? What is the common denominator, both in like, for example, to give you an idea of another form that you brought into my awareness, let's do the old dance. And I say this because this has been information that's been around forever in its development. And so the old dance around the concept of money as a form or an entity of evil, right? So like when we just look through it historically, you know, even going back just, we're in the 2000s. So say we just travel back to the 1900s, or we travel back to the 1800s, then we travel back, you know, to the dark ages. And then when you look at the different facets of like humans and money and the absence of love, like what is revealed to you in the greater picture that you see today as disorganizing or being canceled?
Yeah, canceled. That's a trigger word today, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's if you're not paying close attention, it's easy to fall into the feeling that it's complete chaos. Like there is no rhyme, reason, or rule anymore, and everything is just moving aimlessly in all directions. You don't know anymore who to believe and what to believe in. That's if you don't pay close attention. And when I say that, I don't talk about paying close attention to what's happening around you, but what's happening inside of you. Is really what comes up for me. And when you pay attention, things start to take a little more shape and organize. And for me, a lot of it organizes through what looks or feels or has the knowing of something that is real, versus something that maybe we used to think it's real. Maybe it looks deceivingly real, and it's almost like real. It's like somebody is telling you this is real, and that's what you are used to, and that's what you always recognize as real. And when you start to trust your own knowing, you just start seeing that actually reality around us is mostly not what we see, right? there is all this subtleness, all these energies and shapes behind the shapes and behind what you hear and behind what you see, that just, when we pay attention to it, become more real. And I'll give you an example. I mean, if you look at, and who wants to talk about politics, but I'm just taking sort of a surface example. It's not really politics, but politics just brings to the surface how people can be really kind and people can look like they're being kind, but actually have an agenda underneath it. And so on the surface, you would see things that look the same, but actually they're very different. Because the intent or the essence, everything, you know, in some spiritual beliefs, everything has a soul. Everything, even if it's a thought, even if it's a leaf, even if it's the tiniest thing, and it doesn't even have to be physical, has a soul. And so the question is, what is the soul of this thing that you're looking at? Is it truth, or is it something else?
And interestingly, you can also say, when we utilize the word soul, could we interject or interchange it, I should say, with another word, which would be form of energy? So when I loved what you were saying, because you were saying, you know, what if it's really your experience, or ultimately, is it illusory? So I want to kind of bring it into a more material, more material presentation. So for example, the way that I'll just start it from me, because it helps, I think, navigate something. So starting from me, like, I'm conscious that, for example, money isn't my mega driver, but yet at the same time, there's an awareness that I need it in order to sustain myself. So what, you know, as I sit there and look at money, would we say that that is an evil occupation? Or is that awareness that money is an energetic exchange that supports sustenance, and that when I am sustained, then I can move into more of my own purpose of being in support of self? And more importantly, how being supportive of self can be in support of others. So, you know, is that evil to, you know, need to have a need? And so, like, when you think about it from that perspective, just to give an example of the spectrum of how we can connect this idea that money as a material object or substance. Can get the connotation evil. Like you were saying, we're doing this dismantling thing. So we perceive things as being completely chaotic. And then just what I know from you and how you perceive things, chaos is the birthplace of creation. So like, how do you cancel evil in that sense, like in using that this year, the birthplace of creation, like how are you personally inviting that energetic exchange, right? For self-sustenance in order for you to come fully into your personal purpose this year. Like, where do you get your, get your goods from?
Some really, really good questions rolled into one, right?
Yeah.
And so I'll tell you quickly that the way I see chaos, I mean, instinctively, I don't like chaos. And so I have the instinct to put organization into chaos.
Okay.
And chaos by itself is not bad. And I think we can learn to feel more comfortable inside of chaos. For example, there are meditations that take you into what's called the void. And the void, I don't remember if we talked about it the last time, but anyway, the void is a place where everything is possible, where there are just potentialities and nothing is real yet. Nothing is in existence yet, and everything is in a potentiality. It's like what happens before the Big Bang in the physical universe. It's like the chaos before creation. And so you have everything spinning around you, and then you're just your awareness, because you don't bring any physicality into it. You don't bring your senses.
It's as if you are the chaos.
Yeah, you're the chaos, and you have your awareness within the chaos, and because we like to create, the question is, so are we going to play with this chaos? And so as you're floating and there is nothing to do and there is nothing to sense anything with, it's just an endless, there is no light, it's just dark. In fact, you know, it's like black hole, which will pull light into it, but it's still going to be dark, endless darkness. And the darkness, yeah, sometimes we feel emotionally darkness is scary. There are no feelings here because there is no past. There's no experience. You know, to be scared, you need to have the experience of something that happened. But here there's no time even. There is no sense of anything that would teach you. There is no memory of things. There is the endless opportunity to create something new. And so the void seems to me a very helpful concept for meditating a new year into being.
And when we're contemplating the idea of entering the void, immediately I'm brought into my structure. Like, you know, where would I embody this in my body? Even though let's set aside this concept that I'm already material, because in the chaos there is no material body, but because we're flipping our perspective of the inside outside.
What would you like me to just give you a quick entrance into the void?
Oh, that and where would a person locate that? Like in
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So where in the body? You know, an easy one would be what our teacher Cindy Dale would call the eighth chakra. Which is the shamanic way to get into different realities, different dimensions. It's like the doorway into everything and nothing. And that is about a hand length above the head. And from there, you can enter other realms. The equivalent in the body for this is the thymus gland. So you can imagine that you open a door in the thymus gland. So let me just take you through this.
Okay, where is the thymus gland?
The thymus gland is the upper part, like the upper side of the sternum. Maybe you can give an even better location than I'm giving. Just feel it.
So yeah, so in the body, where it's like when you pledge your heart is what I'm hearing. Like when you place your hand on your heart, you go to that space in the bones, in between the bones and the spine and the energy.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Yeah,
got it.
Yeah. And so when I take my awareness there, the first thing that I feel is actually not the body, because I'm the moment I'm touching that place. That you can probably Google and see exactly if you'd like where the sternum is on Google image. But then once I go in there, what I see is a circle that is a flame. So it's like, you know, in the circus, I step into that circle of that is the flame, but I'm not going the other side yet. I'm just staying in there and letting the flame be around me.
I'm lighting you.
Yeah.
And, okay, got it.
And the flame is on one side, it's lighting me up, but the other way to see it is it's me. It's my light shining around me, and my flame is around me. It's my it's everybody has this inner power that hey. You just it's like stepping mm-hmm. into your power when you step into this ring of the flame.
May I insert in your journey here within that you're helping us perceive? Yeah. I just want to insert in the last 8 weeks or so, some of the light language that has been passed through this space of mine to others. And it's very fascinating, another subject altogether, but I just wanted to key phrase this in this journey as we're settling into becoming aware of this space within each other and ourselves. And that is a very simple phrase. And it is, I don't need to protect my heart, for my heart protects me. Mm. Okay, thank you.
That's beautiful. Yeah, and yeah, that's great. That's great. And I immediately feel it. How yeah. when you step into the ring, you're stepping into yourself and you're already protected and you're shining your flame outward. And so just feel that around you for a few seconds and then let two doors present in front of you. And you open the doors and step into or through the door. And what you are now in is the void. I mean, it's that simple.
Wow.
It's that simple. You just so step it's through really... and then you're in nowhere and everywhere.
So even though you're imaging in like a construct, right? The door, simultaneously, it is the illusion because the space or place you're already occupying.
Yeah.
Wow.
And as you step into the void, it's like you're becoming an astronaut, if you want to imagine it this way, because you're floating. There is nowhere to go. There is nowhere to fall to because there is no up and down. And, you know, when you look, when you try to look at something, of course it's dark, but you can see with your awareness, not with your eyes, that the darkness extends as far as you look. You look further, the dark extends further. And so there is really no limit in any direction. There is no direction. There is no sense. And so you can quiet down even the need to sense what's around you.
You're making me laugh because as I was in this space, I was like, I'm using my nonsense to sense.
There you go. Talk about opposites and how the opposites are very useful to navigate.
To navigate.
Yeah, absolutely. And your awareness is just aware that in the darkness and in the nothingness around you, at the same time, there is infinite potentiality. It's like stars and galaxies are created from a black hole, and the entire creation can be made out of the void and is being made, in fact, every moment.
So check this out. As you spoke of that, the word propulsion came to mind.
So tell me more.
So as I'm witnessing, you know, the birthing of stars and galaxies, this nonsense is I'm suspended with no sense. But at the same time, it's like there's an awareness of motion. Hmm. And so propulsion is like, what makes up the motion in that field of no thing, of only potential.
And as you feel the motion, because your awareness is in motion, you can probably see it in many ways, but you can see it as in a constant motion. You can see it as an acceleration. Just curious, what do you sense?
No, you're exactly. It's like you have this rotation or spin. And so just in the idea of what you're saying, we go into this void and yet light is birthing stars and right. galaxies. And so like, what is the, What is that? What is the essence of that in terms of potential coming into form?
Yeah. And so, you know, I've never thought of it or imagined it this way. But as you were talking about it, I started to see the spin as you were talking about it. And so the spin is bringing light in. And so I see the spin as the way it's almost like it's creating something out of nothing. It's creating something out of the void. And so as I start spinning, the spin itself is becoming a spin of light. It's like all colors, multicolor light starting to spinning. And as it spins, it starts becoming meaningful somehow. It starts bringing in maybe intention or a desire or content, something.
Yeah, and so you were talking about that infinite potential. And as you're speaking to me, it's like, this is the kaleidoscope. And in a kaleidoscope are all these different angles and diffusions and conglomerations of those colors.
Yeah.
And so now it's like that concept of what you're saying, you know, what I see or don't see, it's like it's illusory, but at the same time it's pretty solid. So like when that light forms into being like a star or a universe or the planet or you as a person, how does that move it from potential?
Well, that's exactly the story of what you just said of the illusory, because what is an illusion? Illusion is the use of the imagination, and the imagination is not unreal. It's bringing something into reality. And so what happens is, and especially the creative imagination, you know, because we have imagination that just mixes things, memories and stuff that we already know into something else. But here I'm talking about the creative imagination that brings something completely in. Mm. It's like seeing it for the first time. And this spinning light is then being charged with meaning, with the meaning of whatever it is that you feel. That's the charge. And if you're feeling, or whatever it is that you're imagining is becoming strong enough, there will be eventually this big bang, which doesn't have to be really big, but when it happens, it's like a big or small explosion that explodes something into new reality.
So check this out. So this is so fun to me, because so when we go from potential, we're talking about potency. And so when we go back to this idea of canceling out all evil, in the way that you're speaking, that in the void is all potential to become. Yeah. And in the potency of becoming, that explosion takes place, or the potency, it takes a lot of potency to come into being. So then let me understand this right. So like if we talk about this construct of money being the source of all evil, right? Like in the way that humans perceive, it's like if you're pursuing money, there's an evil desire, I guess you could say, you know, and it robs you of all these other things.
As you speak about it, I see the serpent. It's like bringing the snake in. And sorry to interrupt you if you
want. No, go for it. I want to hear it.
Yeah. Yeah. So money, like so many things, is just a tool. It's just a process. It's just a way to exchange values between people, right?
Yeah.
In the old days, I would give you a chicken and you would give me flour.
Yes.
And now I live in Santa Rosa and you live in Sacramento, and it's much easier to exchange something else that represents value, but is not the chicken and is not the flour. It's
right.
It's something that is easier to do, and that's all money is. It represents value, and in the essence of it is not bad, but we can of course put it into bed. That's actually put into the, yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. So what I want to share with you, this is so powerful in my opinion, is that, so when you perceive that shift, like you were saying, of the exchange, and then as that matured or morphed to the current day system, it originally what it did was it created a pathway to freedom, in that sense of, at this point, you know, dismantling this concept of money, let's just, you briefly tapped into something called politics. Okay. So we look at this one energy of, you know, there's a group of beings that want to allot you certain things or give you, okay? They want to say, we want to give you these things. But in the original system of sustenance, like, okay, if I'm an awesome chicken grower and you're an awesome wheat grower, and I like to have chicken pot pie, right? And so do you, then it would behoove us to have a relationship where we give an energetic exchange of our creator potential, and both of us benefit from this sustenance through that energetic exchange. And what it does is, instead of me saying, oh, I'm going to go to the town council and beg for sustenance, and we're going to tell you this is what you need to live and dole you portions of something that they believe is in your best interest, then there's a loss of freedom, because maybe I don't like chicken or, you know, pot pie, right?
Right, exactly. You know, when you look at it like this, money can, you know, there is, so when we talk about money, usually lack of comes up as well as abundance.
Yes, the spectrum.
Yeah. And so when, another way to sort of demonstrate the difference between the uses of it when it's done with quote unquote bad intent, or, you know, what is bad intent? It's,
right.
it's when there is more taking and less giving.
And or when someone doesn't understand their full potential and feels impotent.
Right. When you're not even bringing your full potentiality, because, you know, we just talked about how to create potentialities from the void. But yeah, if you don't believe that there is potentiality, then you'll bring the energy of lack into an exchange of money. And so what happens when there is the energy of lack, because there is an emotional block, there is a belief, or because there is a belief about, you know, I'm not going to succeed, or I'm just not capable of making money, whatever it is, what happens is, we're bringing into the transaction the energy of lack. And what happens as a result of the exchange, that at least one side will increase the belief as a result of this transaction,
right,
of lack.
And that's what,
and perhaps called, both sides actually, right, will end up with less. So this is the power of of money in this context, that, you know, it can actually increase, you can actually do something that you'll both end up being less than when you started.
Wow. And so that, when you were talking about potential transforming into coming into being, it's like, so now this is a great way of understanding how those feelings or beliefs, the energy, the movement that you're connecting, because that heart is all about how we relate, how things are relating. And so then
the heart,
which is where you had us, you know, the heart is where you had us enter into the void. And then, like, okay, so how are we relating to this nothingness, the nothingness? And how do we perceive a something So I was just witnessing. So, you know, you're talking about the potential, the potency, impotent to full of potential. And then in that action, that movement, in the imagination of witnessing and sensing, then you've materialized it into a possibility and a probability, right? So like I said, I started with me, like I realized that money isn't my driver, but I need money to be able to support myself, sustenance in order to do what does drive me. So when I connect into the what gives me the greatest pleasure, which is to unify with others, to work in universality, to work in the universal energies, to collaborate. That brings me so much joy. And then watching others.
Yeah. Then money empowered. Will be a byproduct.
Exactly. And the sustenance is self-sustained, right? And then it gives
you will receive freedom. What you need when you are in an expansive state.
And in the creator.
Something that has this vibration of love,
of creation, of love, yeah. Love being the energy of the light.
Right. And so that's the other nice thing about money, and also about healing or about anything that has to do with manifesting, with helping manifesting. So you empower with the energy of love. What is love? Love is like the first light of creation. When you're in this void and all you need to shine into it is a single ray of light. And when you shine into it a single ray of light, it's like saying, I'm sending love. And so I start creating out of this nothingness, something with a loving energy will be created. If you had another intention that is not of love, you would still create.
You would still create, exactly. And so when we, right? So when we go into that spectrum of what we all deem as evil, right? As we categorize, it's like, well, when you kind of step back for a moment.
Yeah, it's just the process. It's just how it works. What kind of intent or emotion you're putting into it. Mm-hmm. And you talked about the motion. Now we're putting the intent to the motion and it becomes an emotion. And so are we putting in the emotion and the energy of love, or are we putting the emotion of jealousy or hate or blame or guilt or whatever it is that separates us? And that's what happens with money. When you put into the transaction the energy of love, then transaction sounds cold, right? Instead of being cold, it's becoming, in a way, a loving exchange. Because mm-hmm. And what happens is both sides actually gain something.
Interesting, because as you were speaking about that, I'm like, yeah, we rather than call it a transaction, if this helps people comprehend their relationship, consider it a transfer.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. A transfer of the energy of love then becomes, this is the act of creation, because you actually end up with more than you started on both sides.
And it's the foundation of freedom, which is, you know, one of the reasons we're together today is beautifully said, because we're free to create and we decided we're going to co-create together and bring an amplification to our pure love.
Yeah, exactly. And then if we shift the conversation a little bit, because today is Martin Luther King Day, and
being of love, right?
Yeah, love, freedom. And so how does freedom for you connect with the conversation about creation and about creation through how creation can be done differently through the different range of emotions?
Yeah. So just as I center back into the space that you have invited me into within myself and in my state of acknowledging your presence with me in this space, that the relationship that you're cultivating with me and with those that are listening to their own inner space. The idea of freedom, I think the biggest embodiment that I understand is that I surrender judgment, because what is free for me is unique to me, and what is free for another is unique to them, but that we can coexist.
So freedom is more specifically the freedom to coexist and to be whatever freedom means to you. I love it.
Right?
Right. Because the last thing we want is to start arguing about what freedom means and then take away freedom by doing that.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And so for the audience, for ourselves, I'd like to I'd like to either receive with you, Ofer, or participate in creating an immersion in this void, time, space. It's interesting, you know, language can limit as well as expand us, but I would love it if you would be so kind, because you carry a certain vibration that allows aspects of our concrete selves to dismantle in order for us to touch or become part of our bigger self within.
Sure. Okay. And let's bring our awareness then through, again, through the thymus gland into the void, and also know that these endless space of the void, which is the point and the point of creation. And so it has to be in some way within the heart, because all creation within us starts with the heart. And then sometimes, you know, the mind likes to interfere, and sometimes it's good and sometimes it's confusing. But we're bringing ourselves into the void, in the heart. And just, can you say, ground yourself? Grounding yourself in the void, it sounds kind of funny, but it
does. I heard I'm landing.
Yeah, it's very doable. You don't have to be in a spin if you don't want to feel dizzy. You don't have to feel lost if you don't want to be lost. And you're also free to be whatever you're called to be. If you want to feel lost, that's perfectly fine. And then when you feel that there is a moment where you actually want to play, you want to play with something, just tune to be aware of the notion of expansion versus contraction, and feel, because the heart likes to do this, right? The heart likes to expand and contract. The whole body likes to expand and contract. And so you'd know already from it's like a instinctive knowing of what's expansion and contracting is. And so just feel how you shine a single ray of light into the void and let this ray take on some kind of a shape. It might be this spin that we talked about of creation, and it might be another shape that feels right for you, and feel how the shape expands and contracts into whatever it wants to be, it's supposed to be, and feel how your awareness is putting into this work of creation the energy of love and the energy of grace. And grace is love in motion. It's love that has the power of movement added to it. And so as you move through the contraction of whatever it is that you want to create, and it can be some form of abundance for you. And as we said, abundance doesn't have to be money. It can be feeling happy. It can be feeling peaceful. It can be having the perfect job or business. It can be being healed. It can be growing into a new level of health this year, where you're already feeling healthy and you want to take it to the next level that will just guarantee that you live for the next 300 years. Why not? And so feel the contractions starting to take some kind of a form or a shape. And as the shape settles into something that you can actually start seeing, then I would say pour some content into this shape, but I'm not talking about solid content at this point. Rather, just connect to your deep, most pure ancient wisdom, the wisdom of your connection with the divine, with your inner core, with your essence, and pour that wisdom into the shape. Pour that wisdom that is taking some colors from your, whatever it is that you desire, from your intention. Pour that into this shape and let it become more real. Let it become even more real. And then see this shape growing out of the void and becoming this star, this new star. And it is still in your heart. And now expand it. Expand these shape that is energy, that is color, that is your intention, that is your wisdom, your innermost wisdom. Expand that shape to surround your entire field. And let it become real. And let it go. Because you are done. You have performed creation. And the creation will keep creating upon creation. And so it is.
And so it is. Oh, that was lovely. I just feel like, you know, traveling through my space and time and absolute contentment now, and just being able to be the witness of what unfolds throughout 2022. And I look forward to meeting up with you again for some more self-discovery, even when I see you next, and we can share like how did this manifest for us,
right,
since we chatted last. Absolutely.
Let's definitely do more of this. I love these conversations.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Sending lots of love, Johnny Ann, to you, and thanks, and sending love to our audience.
Absolutely. And I'm receiving and I'm expanding it. I'm receiving and I'm expanding it. Thank you for that. Just permission to be. I appreciate it, Ofer. I look forward to this wonderful day that we're about to continue having, and to meeting up with you again. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.